you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. There's probably a verse in here or this whole passage that many of you are not only familiar with, but love, because it's filled with nuggets of truth, points of application, and it's an encouraging word from God, I believe, to many of you, if not all of you. So please think this through with me as I read these verses. And again, Dr. David Webb is joining me for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023. And that was Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I want to be a good navigator. You cite the reference, you share the scripture verse, and you cite that reference. But that might be a verse today for some of you to memorize, to think about, and to apply into your life. You are beloved of God, and he wants to work a special work in and through you. And if you were tuned in yesterday, you heard the story behind the process, if you will, that God took Dr. David Webb through as he ministered to his children and grandchildren, the series of books, these ideas, these stories that he wanted to tell them, imparting to them godly truths and illustrations, ways that they could learn how to respond to situations and circumstances in their lives. He highlighted three different books and then talked about this fourth book that we're going to discuss, and he's going to actually read a chapter, one of my favorite chapters. There was many good action points, if you will, that as I read through it, I thought, oh, that's an interesting take. And I like how he tells a story and then he gives a summary, a synopsis of how to maybe apply it into your life. And one we're going to talk about is Pride, William's New Computer. But Dr. David Webb joins me again. I could probably give a 10 or 15 minute glowing overview of the many accomplishments, the ways he's been used of God in my life and in so many people's lives. But if you want to get a fuller overview of an introduction, I gave a long one on January 30th. He and I were in the studio. We recorded four different programs, mainly talking about the imperatives that God would have us all know about, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. But those programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But January 30th and 31st and February 6th and 7th, and if you go and scroll to those dates, you'll see Dr. David Webb. And then along with yesterday's program is also archived, as will be today's program. And you can also find out more about this book series and other books he's written by emailing Dr. David Webb at dkwbook, that's dkwbook@gmail.com. And Karen and Joyce and our team has this information in case you couldn't write it down. Just call the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, Dr. Webb, you shared a great overview on the process, the method, the means, the ways God took you through creating these books. And yet it really culminated, or was maybe the jump start to get you to write this fourth book, which has a lot of topics. I highlighted it briefly yesterday. Adult topics, topics that people are struggling with today, topics that can be sometimes contentious or misunderstood or not taken biblically. So walk us through this fourth book, including a reading, and maybe for those that missed a portion of yesterday, how God has brought you to this point in this fourth book.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Mark. And I'm overjoyed to be back again with you. And yesterday talked about the journey that God had me take to formulate the printing of three books prior to this last one, which we're going to highlight today. But if you missed yesterday's program, the three previous books to this fourth one were the stories I told to children and grandchildren, my children and my grandchildren, stories that had to do with real life issues that I used a fictitious family to illustrate. And the first book was for the younger child, 8 to 11. It's called Rescue at the Dock. The second book was for the little older child, maybe 11 to 14, called Riding Bikes with Hands in the Air. And then the third book was for the maybe 15 through 17-year-old called Kite Surfing on the Ocean. But as you mentioned, Mark, and as we've talked about, looking back, it seems to me that God was using these three books to bring us to the fourth book. In other words, the purpose, in one sense of the word, of the first three books was to bring us to this fourth book. And so I am excited to explain to the listener a little bit about this fourth book called The Years Beyond. It just came out in print in late fall, and it's not been distributed very much as yet because I am really seeking God's direction as to how and where to use this book. Let me explain. The book has to do with the same characters that were in the first three books. They have aged. Their community has grown with them. But now there's adult issues that intervene. Issues that these young people who have now grown up and become late teens or early adults must now contend with, deal with, to wrestle through. And I wanted to present these different topics, these mature, difficult topics, which we'll enumerate here in just a moment. I wanted to present them in a way that sees them from a Christian perspective. You see, so many of these topics are being talked about in the world from a non-Christian, a worldly, fleshly perspective. And one reader that looked at these books said to me, there's not a book like this out there. There is not a book that confronts directly these issues, these difficult issues, with a understanding of spiritual truth based upon our Christian walk, the gospel of Christ. Now, saying that, I must also remind myself and the listener that whenever you step into this arena, you're stepping into an arena of opposition, that there's spiritual pressures against this. There is a pushback of the world, of the satanic forces. And so when I present these topics and analyze them from a Christian perspective, I'm stepping into an area that's going to bring pushback, going to bring opposition, and maybe even some degree of persecution. But God wanted this book to be written. God wanted this book to be out there. Now, the format of the book is different than the first three. The first three presents stories with illustrations, and the story speaks for itself. The story then can be applied to our daily life as we go through it. This fourth book presents the story again, a story about a topic, say a topic of sexual abuse in a child. It's a story about a young girl who doesn't remember that happening to her, but it ended up with a disability of stuttering. And it came to light in her, and she had to deal with the reality that she was sexually abused as a child. And that's the story, and it's a character that's been with us for the first three books. It's a character that's very important to the community, to the relationships. And so when this came to light, the whole community, all the friends, all the church members, the counselors, all the people who love this young girl, rallied around her to try to do what is right in God's sight, to bring healing in and to bring her into a place of health again. And so I present these stories, and then after each story, Mark, I give a little section. I call it Thoughts and Reflections. It's really my commentary, my thinking concerning the topic. How, for instance, should we as Christians think about sexual abuse? What is the problem? What has happened? And how do we think about it? How do we regard it? And how do we approach it? How do we bring healing to people who've had this? How do we understand it as God would have us to understand it? So each story has to do with a difficult subject, one that is not talked about very freely and openly in our churches, not freely and openly in our families, not freely and openly in our youth groups, but topics that are there. They affect everyone's life. There's no topic in this fourth book that has not affected somebody's life who reads this book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give the story, and then I try to give a perspective. Now, let me be clear. This is my perspective. It doesn't mean it has to be your perspective. What it means is that you, as a Christian believer, have to develop some idea of how to think about these problems, how to think about these issues, how to address them in your family, in your home, in your community. It forces you. One of my readers said to me, the book gives me permission to address the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's the nature of the book. That's my goal, my hope, is that you don't adopt necessarily what I think about it, but take this opportunity to really wrestle with the issues, wrestle with the problems. For instance, let me just read, as Mark did yesterday, let me just read the topics that are covered, and I think you'll understand. Premarital intimacy, racial differentiation, as I mentioned, sexual abuse, blended family issues. There's so many families that are blended, and the issues that arise in them need to be addressed. Pride, peer acceptance, rape, homosexuality, pornography, marital unfaithfulness, depression and suicide, midlife crisis as it affects the young people, drug alcohol abuse, the issue of death and dying. One of my favorites, and I won't have time to go into it, is the thing of healthy disillusionment.
Hmm.
And the last one, Christianity, yes or no. This is a crisis of faith. And this one, just a little word about that last story. That last story was a true story. It was my brother's story, my atheist, non-believing brother's story. He went to college, went to a religion class, and gave up his faith. And this is a story about Robert going through that same process. But Robert's turns out much better. He comes back to his grandfather, and uniquely and beautifully, his grandfather doesn't try to convince him, just simply tells his grandson his story. And that brings his grandson back to a full faith and belief. Now, just parenthetically, I sent this book to my brother, who is a non-believer, and he read the stories. And he said of this last story, because it's his story, and he knows it, he said, when I read that story, something stirred inside me. And my prayer is that what stirred inside him will bring him back to the faith. But that's the nature of this book, Mark.
And I know that you said that you give your overview to not only maybe inform us your point of view, but to stir us to have our own points of view or to think it through. But you give it through a biblical insight. You've studied God's word. You've studied his scripture. So you don't just want to give your opinion. You're given what you think is a really balanced Christian view on things.
Yeah, I hope that is, and I believe it is the case. I've been a medical physician for almost 50 years, and I've had an opportunity to know people who've dealt with these problems, and I've been teaching the Bible for that period of time, and I try to combine biblical wisdom, biblical insight, the Holy Spirit's wisdom with the practical things of the world.
Well, one of my favorite chapters, there was many great topics here, but was William's new computer. And I think we have just enough time to read that and you can comment. Then you can summarize your thoughts and reflections on this chapter.
Sounds great. Well, William is the father and he is a lobsterman. And here's the story. William had been a lobsterman for most of his adult working life. He entered this line of work soon after he and Helen married. In order to pursue this as a full-time job and as a source of income for his family, he and Helen moved to the village of Oyster Rake Bay. Although he tragically lost his wife soon after Violet was born, he loved his work, and he loved living in that village. When he was out at sea, he delighted in the smell of salt water and the powerful force of the ocean winds. He also felt great satisfaction in being able to provide lobsters for the townspeople, in seeing their satisfied expressions as they enjoyed eating them. William, by his own admission, was in many ways old-fashioned, set in his ways, and stubbornly against new techniques. He felt his time-proven way of lobstering had never let him down in the past. He rested confidently in the fact that, because he had so mastered it, it was now second nature to him. Life as a New England lobsterer was going well for him. He felt that nothing about it would ever need to change, at least not before he aged to the point of being unable to continue. Like in so many aspects of our modern life, the need for insurance was both a necessary and reassuring reality for the lobstermen. They realized that they needed it to feel financially secure and that their livelihood was protected. They felt vulnerable if they didn't have suitable insurance. They had to plan for the unseen possibility of losing or damaging their boat or equipment. They had to consider the question, what would happen to me and my family if the unexpected would occur? One early January, William received a letter notifying him that his insurance company, which he had had for the same agency for 10 years, would be dropping him unless he could meet the new safety requirements for fishing crafts. He didn't understand this, so he contacted the agent that now had held his policy. The agent he had worked with for the last 10 years had recently retired. It was explained to him that he must install a state-of-the-art computer in his boat if their company was to provide him insurance. Such a system would not only be very expensive for a single boat owner operator to purchase, but would also require a significant commitment of time and effort to learn how to use it properly. Even if William could find the money for the purchase and take the time to invest in learning its use, he was angry and resentful that he was being forced to do that which would allow technology to control and manipulate him. He was aware that he, generally, did not have the aptitude for technology. He had convinced himself that his mind was not suitable to be able to conquer the task. Violet overheard her father telling all this to Grandfather Cozy. William believed that Cozy, of all people, would empathize with him, having been an old-time lobsterman himself. Cozy listened, shook his head as if in disgust, but then, to William's disappointment, simply said, "I guess you'd better get to it." Violet later asked her father to explain more of his dilemma and his feelings about the new demand upon him. Even as a young teenager, she was sensitive to the feelings and needs of others, just like her mom, Helen. After William, in an obviously sharp and disgusted tone, explained it all to her, she offered to read all the instructions and help him learn what he needed to know in order to comply with the new requirements. He reluctantly agreed, although still angry. After several weeks, Violet had finished her study of the problem, was ready to put her knowledge to use and help her father. They worked together installing the equipment. Cozy also helped with the mechanical, hands-on part of the process. Each day, Violet would help her father become progressively more familiar with the computer and expand his knowledge of the proper use and benefit of the new equipment. Slowly but surely, William's attitude and tone changed. It evolved from what was at first a reluctant acceptance of the necessity of modern technology to finally one of excited amazement of the computer's capabilities. By the end of the process, he believed that the system would help him be more efficient and productive in his trade. He was now prepared to go optimistically into the upcoming lobster season. He was again fully insured. "Maybe," he mumbled softly, "technology isn't so bad after all." William enjoyed his time with Violet during their interaction on the project. He grew to know and appreciate her at an all-new level. She, he reflected in his thoughts, was quite bright, had been very patient with him. He felt convinced that someday she would make a fine teacher. She also enjoyed helping her father, feeling that in some small way, she was thanking him for loving her and raising her so well.
Yeah, I love this chapter. It's great. And then you have the follow-up thoughts and reflections. And in our closing couple minutes, maybe you can summarize this. But what I saw in this was I just never realized sometimes how people, they don't want to change. And it's a pride issue. And I never would have identified that till I saw it in this story that he just didn't want to change. He didn't want to mess with the new technology. But as a result, he got to grow and love his daughter a little more. He got to learn that this technology was useful. He got to learn that he needed to change.
Absolutely. And this is near and dear to me because I don't like change. And I came to understand that part of my pushback on change is that it's pride. I thought and think that I know all that needs to be known, and that I don't need anybody to teach me or to feed into me and talk into me. And that attitude applied to things of life really cuts us off from not only the wisdom of other people, but the wisdom of God. The continual evolving of our nature, both as loving, caring people, but also as godly men and women. So pride is really the root of our inability to accept change, Mark. That really was an eye-opener for me as well.
The book is called The Years Beyond, Bedtime Stories of Cozy McIntosh and His Seaside Village. This is the fourth book. There's three other prior books before this, more storytelling and more graphics and illustrations. But if you want to find out more or purchase copies, they're available at the Schnookson Mahomet at the Open Room in downtown Mahomet. But better yet, email David at dkwbook@gmail.com. dkwbook@gmail.com. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Dr. Webb, I know we've prayed about this and talked about it, and it's on my future as God would open up doors of opportunity, but I think we could have you do a series of talks on some of these chapters and get the community involved, have a discussion, and flesh out some of these subjects that aren't talked about or certainly aren't talked about with a biblical mindset or a biblical point of view. Topics like racial differentiation or sexual abuse or the blended family or homosexuality, pornography, marital unfaithfulness, drug and alcohol abuse. I think these would be all topics that if we came together and had some open discussion and maybe Dr. Webb either read a portion of the story or facilitated that discussion, I think we could all benefit. So be praying about that. And I'm just looking for an opportunity when 40, 60, 100 of us can gather and flesh out some of the biblical ways that we can be greater witnesses of Jesus in this hurting world.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. That would be a delight to do that. And I would just encourage the radio listener to think about these subjects through godly eyes and with the heart and mind of Jesus Christ.
If you're interested in these books, email Dr. David Webb at dkwbook@gmail.com, dkwbook@gmail.com, and we'd certainly appreciate your prayers on behalf of him as he presses kingdom influence, power, and authority into our community with these books and with his teaching and his passion for men's ministry. There's always opposition to thwart, to derail, to frustrate that. So keep him in prayer and how God can use the Years Beyond book in our lives in the days ahead. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dr. David Webb with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.